Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God is good. Is God good?
All the time.
All the time. Amen. All the time.
God is good.
God is good. I want to speak tonight about divine affirmation. Divine affirmation. Affirmation, one definition of affirmation is emotional support or encouragement. Emotional support or encouragement. It's like, is it, you know, when I do a message and I'm looking to, looking for a picture that goes with it so I can put it online, and you know, it seems to me that the only people who are into divine affirmation are the New Age movement. It's like they've stolen the good stuff from the church and they're selling it to the world, and the world are lapping it up. Amen. Affirmation, emotional support or encouragement. You know, we British haven't always been the best at this. Well, or maybe more specifically, we Scottish definitely haven't been the best at this. And we Scottish Christians most definitely and certainly have not been very good at this. Because we wouldn't want anyone to get big-headed, would we? We wouldn't want anyone to get too full of themselves or too big for their boots and all that stuff, would we now? So we hold back on that which we're supposed to freely give to people. Mm-hmm. We're here to encourage one another. I said to Katrina the other day, I said, I wonder what it's like to be so-and-so, and everybody thinks they're so wonderful. And then I said, you know, it's hard not being so-and-so. Hallelujah. But you know, our God is the Father who says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. That's affirmation indeed. Amen. That's our Father. He says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You know, that's, Jesus said this. He said, I will not leave, John 14 is recorded, I will not leave you as orphans. You know, children that don't have parental affirmation, they can become emotional cripples. Mm-hmm. Children need that affirmation. Mm-hmm. Amen. Whenever my children are sitting in the exam, I always send them a text or something and I say, never, just don't forget you're a genius. Don't forget you're a genius. Sarah texted me the other day because she still sitting these accountancy exams as she goes on, as she works and studies and does these exams as she goes. And she just did her last batch recently, and it takes a couple of months for the results to come through. She texted me just a couple of days ago and said, I passed my exam. Because she'd been quite concerned about these, but I don't know why, because like I said, when she was sitting, I'm, don't forget, you're a genius, but anyway. but she texted and said, I passed my exams. And so I texted her back and said, well, I didn't really expect anything else from a genius. Amen. But when we lack affirmation, we can become emotionally crippled and remain bound by insecurity and inferiority. Who knows anything about that mess? See, our Father's heart is always for us to realize the potential that is within us, to build successful ministries. Amen. To establish kingdom businesses that will be successful. To be world changers who really make a difference in this world, who really and truly make a difference, leave a dent in this world, leave a mark in this world, so this world cannot forget that we've been here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. But it was said about the early church, those who turned the world upside down, I always like to say, well, actually they came to turn the world the right way up. But they said that, they said, those who turned the world upside down have come here also. We're here, our Heavenly Father's heart is always for us to realize our potential, to turn the world the right way up, to really make a difference in this world. And the reality is that these things will always involve change in our life, sometimes quite dramatic change, but we don't need to panic about that, because all of the change that God requires from us is always by way of exchange. Mm-hmm. See, exchange. And so we simply come to the place of exchange, the throne of grace that has been opened up for us because of the cross. The cross was the gateway into the throne room of grace. The place of divine exchange, where we have the opportunity to trade our weaknesses for His strength. Mm-hmm. To exchange our weaknesses for his strength. Amen? So listen up a little bit. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18 says this, "Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders."
Amen.
We are for signs and wonders. People are running around looking for signs and wonders, and you and I are it. From the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Does that sound like divine affirmation or what? Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel. All these folks that are chasing after signs and wonders have actually been looking for you. Just waiting for you to come along. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. You're not supposed to be running around looking for signs and wonders. We're here to be the signs and wonders. Hallelujah. People should be pointing at you and wondering. People should be knocking your door down wondering, what is it? What you got? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. I just wanted tonight just to take a closer look at one of these guys that kind of fits this subject of divine affirmation. I want to talk about Gideon tonight for a little bit. You see, Gideon was full of fear. Gideon was full of fear. He had problems with insecurity and inferiority. And yet the Lord speaks to him as a mighty man. That's how the Lord addresses him.
Yeah.
As a mighty man of valor. So when are we going to get the message that God sees us very, very differently from how we might see ourselves? Mm-hmm. Or even how others might see us? Our Heavenly Father always speaks to our potential because He knows the plans that He has for us. And He knows that they can only be realized by faith, by simply believing what He says and trusting in the ability that He provides. I think it's in Peter, it says, if any man ministers, let him minister us with the ability that the Lord gives.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're not asked to do anything in our own strength. You say, well, I'm weak and pitiful and pathetic. No. Just come to the place of exchange. The Lord actually said to Paul, He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Amen. So let's, Judges chapter 6, we'll just read from verse 3. So it was when whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, there's that name, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. Catch a hold of that. And they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. You've not taken what I said seriously. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress. There you go. Imagine threshing wheat in a winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying..." He'd fit into some churches. "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" It's like he just ignored everything he said. So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Remember, these are the guys that were a numerical number. Like swarming locusts. Come on. Gideon's response to the statement that the Lord was with him was a response you hear a lot in the church. If God was with us, why have these things happened? You know, you hear this question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, start reading the Bible, will you?
Yeah.
I don't know why bad things happen to good people, but I know that God's got an answer for them all. I know that God's got a way through it all. Mm-hmm. I know that God's got a way to turn around everything. Yeah. Hallelujah. No point sitting there asking a question like that for? Are you wasting your time fussing about a question like that, trying to figure that out? Jesus said the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Full stop. You need to put that full stop there. You need to recognize there's a full stop there. Because then he says, "I have come." So you need to focus on that full stop. The days of the thief coming to steal, kill and destroy are over because there's a full stop there. He said, "Now I have come that they may have life, have it, enjoy life in all of its fullness." To have it more abundantly, to have an excess, an overflow, too much life. And that's what's happening here. The Midianites have been coming and stealing every time that Israel sowed, that the Midianites would come and steal what they'd sown. The Lord's saying it's time to put a full stop there. We're going to turn this mess around. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Why do bad things happen to good people? Because the bad things happen, they need to put a full stop there. And remember, the Lord is with thee. The Lord who is strong and mighty in battle.
Yeah.
How many people still question God's ability to heal and deliver simply because they don't see it happening? That's an experience-based belief system, and that will always leave you bound and in bondage to your circumstances. Remember, faith people don't go by what they see. They go by what God says. Mm-hmm. Come on. I said, faith people don't go by what they see. They go by what God says. And so Gideon brings all of this drivel out, and the Lord just keeps on speaking to Gideon as the mighty man. Mm-hmm. He sees him as. God just carries on talking to Gideon the way he sees him. Not the way Gideon sees himself. He doesn't agree with him. He just ignores him. Hallelujah. He carries on speaking to him just as the man he sees him as, and he tells him that he's going to use him to save his people. Let's move on a little bit. In fact, no, let's just repeat it. Judges chapter 6, verse 14 and 16. Let's read that again. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" What does it say in Romans chapter 10, verse 15? "How shall they preach unless they are sent?" How many people just wait? I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm talking about people who believed that God was stirring in them, and there was a call on their lives, and they knew that God had something for them to do, but they just went When I say that, I'm saying they went without the knowledge and the assurance that they were sent, and without the knowledge and the assurance of who they were sent by. Because being sent and knowing that you're sent is what gives you authority. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me into the world, I am sending you. In other words, you're carrying the same authority as you go into the world as I have coming into the world. In other words, the same things that I have done in the world, you will be able to do in the world because you have the same authority. He said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means harm you. In other words, you put a full stop to all the stealing, killing, and destroying. Hallelujah. Being sent is what gives us authority. See, our message, folks, is not just mere words and theories. Do you believe that, Annette?
Yeah.
I was waiting for a big amen on that one. Our message is supernaturally charged with the power of God to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance. Paul said this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto freedom, unto prosperity for everyone who believes it. You know, sometime the other day I went to buy some flooring and the guy at the carpet shop place where I bought it, just around the corner there, he gave me some really bad advice on how to lay this floor, and it's different from the type I've used before, and it's supposed to be much easier and much simpler that you just sort of left it, boom, clicks in place. You know what I mean? I just batter it, you know, and if you batter it, like I batter it, you might chip a little bit. And this is what he said to me. He says you have to put a whole row together end to end, and then you lay the next row, complete row end to end, and then you join it all together row by row. And I said, my room's nearly 5 meters long, and some bits it is 5 meters long. He said, that's a lot of stuff to try and fit together in your room. He says, well, that's the way you're supposed to do this. So I go down on my knees, glory to God, hallelujah. And I started trying to do it the way he told me to do it. And one point, Anna was just going out the door. I said, Anna, can you give me a wee minute? Can you grab the other end? You go halfway up, I'll go here, we'll try it, because she's going to redo this. And bits would come loose, and I was thinking, no, man, this ain't working, man. This is a two-man job, or a three-man job. And then I go where every smart person goes. And you're all so spiritual, you think I went to the Lord. No, I didn't. I went to YouTube. Well, there's got to be a better way than this, you know. And on YouTube, I actually had a video showing how to fit this exact type of floor, exact make and everything. Interesting enough. And I can't remember the guy said it was hocus pocus. But anyway, so then when I discovered the right way of doing it, it became much easier. A lot easier. But I was halfway through the floor by then. That was the problem. I'm hoping that, you know, I began to think of this. I began to meditate on this. Because I like to turn everything into something that the Lord can help me with and teach me by, you know. And I began to wonder about that guy, about how he came out with that kind of advice. And I wondered if maybe he'd never actually done it himself. You see, he's surrounded every day by carpet fitters who come in and take the carpets and go off, or floor and go off, and blah, blah, blah. And I thought maybe he was just repeating what he had heard someone else say. So he'd actually never done it himself. He had no experience of doing it himself. And I wonder, how often is that true in the church? That people have no real experience of what they're talking about, and they just pass off what somebody else said. You know what happens with Chinese whisperers, don't you? You know, I mean, all of a sudden it's like everything's just down there and people are believing all kinds of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Because they've never actually taken God at his word and done what he said. Taken the manufacturer's advice and doing it the way he said to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. As soon as I figured out, I mean, and I've done this a lot with the Lord, I tell you. I mean, I went to YouTube and the other day, but you, I mean, I've been to the Lord a long time. Lord, there has to be a better way than this. The way that people are talking about it, the way that people are saying it, just doesn't seem to fit with your character. Doesn't seem to fit with what I see in your word. And the Lord is way better than YouTube. He downloads things a lot faster. Amen. You know, my broadband connection isn't always the best. Sometimes you've got to wait 5-10 minutes for one of them YouTube videos to download it. And you get to watch 3 seconds and then it stops and then the wee whirly gig goes, you know. I want to tell you, you've got an instant, always on broadband connection with him, hallelujah. High speed broadband to beat any other high speed broadband, amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. He can download that information. Lord, there's got to be a better way. He says there definitely is. I'm so glad you asked. Hallelujah. But how does Gideon respond to this statement of the Lord's confidence in his ability? Do you know the Lord's confident in your ability? Do you know the Lord has confidence in you? Do you know that he's saying over you and me tonight, this is my beloved son? He'd love to introduce us and people say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Gideon says to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Do you think the Lord didn't already know Gideon's family history? Do you think the Lord had gone to the wrong address or something? Do you think that he didn't already know his background? Do you think he doesn't already know your background? Do you think he doesn't know all the things that have been in your family that you might think have created weakness in your family, in your history, in your past? Most families have got a few skeletons rattling in there. A few places of shame, the things that are ashamed of. Maybe there's things been missing in your life. Maybe there's things that you lacked in your life. Maybe in your family when you were growing up, you didn't receive that affirmation. Maybe you were told you were useless, you were no good, that you'd amount to nothing. Maybe you went to school and in school they told you these things. You think the Lord doesn't know that already? But I'll tell you, he's still saying to you, you're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter, and I'm well pleased with you. Hallelujah. We're talking tonight about divine affirmation. We're talking about something getting fed on the energy. We're talking about emotional support and encouragement. People say, well, no, brother, we don't want to be too emotional. Well, why did he give us emotions then? You know, religion said we don't get emotional, you know. And I remember somebody tell me one time, a minister who started crying at the communion time, and the people thought he was having a nervous breakdown. Maybe he was, I don't know. Because they'd never seen a minister cry before in church. That's in this island. You know, the island of Lewis, the wonderful, glorious, holy place. I mean, laughing in church. Get a life. I mean, something really funny happens, you know, I'll let you laugh, you know. I don't know how many services as a kid I sat like this. The seat was going, they had to move us, the minister's family always sat in the front seat, but we always took the cushion, because we were the only ones that got a cushion. Everybody else had to sit in our pew, but you know, and we always took the cushion from the front seat and stuck it up the back seat. So we could pick the horsehair out during the service, you know. Look at that one, that's a beauty. You can stab a guy next to you with that one. Some of them horses, man, they're strong, man. You know, but something funny would happen and he just couldn't even really laugh. I mean, here we are among friends, eh? I mean, you know what the silence is like, and you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, the grave don't come close, you know? It's like you're just, it's time, you know? It was better with the cushion, because with the cushion, when you moved, you didn't go, eh. But somebody, I don't know what they had for dinner, but it was obviously had a negative effect upon their digestive system. I know you have reverberating off the pew. And nobody laughs. And it's right at the start. And it goes on for an hour and a half. I don't know, I was probably about 16 or something, I don't know, man. Oh, Ali's about, Ali's 4 and a half. Then we're sitting in the back pew. You're trying to call you, I must not laugh, I must not laugh. And Elmer's in the red, we got all that, we got all that. And you still try to think of something else, you know, focus on something else, you know. Then it comes back again. Go on to that. Thank you, Lord. Here we are, 30 years later. We can't laugh. 40 years later, what am I talking about? You're not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I mean, we were kids, man. They bring us up, you know, from Glasgow. We're going home for the holidays. And then we go off and we go home and we find out as close to the back pew as we can get in the Garibus Church of Scotland. And then the presenter kicks off, you know, in Gaelic. And and you're on. And three old ladies trying, because he starts off too high, you know. But we won't stop and go back and try again. We'll just keep going, you know. And for us, it's alien. You know what I mean? And for us, it's hilarious. And you can't laugh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anyway. I haven't a foggiest how I went off on this. Excuse me while I try to find my way back. Anyway, let's get back to Gideon. Hallelujah. Enough about my family. You see, their identity is... It's not at all based on our upbringing or the place or even the circumstances of our birth. You could have been born in a brothel or a bungalow, it didn't matter what to God. He still has the same thing to say about you. He still sees the same potential in you. Amen. He still has the same plans for you that are always for good and never for evil. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we are who God says we are. We're not who our circumstances or who our background say we are or who our teacher's report says we are. Or we are who God says we are. Right. Do you believe that tonight?
Yeah.
You're not who your parents say you are. You are who God says you are. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Jesus said there are things that are impossible with men, but with God, say with God.
With God.
With God, all things are possible. You see, the key to Gideon's success was that God was with him. And I want to tell you, God has plans for our success. And the key to our success is exactly the same as the key to Gideon's success. God is with us. God. That was the good news of Jesus coming. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. God with us. You know, for years, I thought if I could just be somebody else, I could succeed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're one of the lucky ones, eh? One of the blessed ones, sorry. Don't use lucky in church. Sanctify your language. But I'm being very open with you here. For years I thought if I could just be somebody else, then I would succeed. Because I didn't think that being Donnie Stewart was ever going to be good enough. And an old kind of quirky fellow, quirky, Katrina's favourite word these days, an old quirky fella, so, you know, the things that those whom you love, things that are on them get on you, and so, an old quirky fella who had a bit of a prophetic edge, to be honest, used to come and visit us occasionally from the mainland, and one time he said to me, he says, who was that American preacher we had to do? Another time he said, who's the crazy shouting guy who took over from the American? Then he said, when are we going to hear Donnie Stewart? When am I going to come here, he said, and hear Donnie Stewart? But I never thought Donnie Stewart would be good enough. I thought, if only I could just be somebody else. You know, let's try and be T.D. Jakes, you know what I'm saying? Or someone like that, you know what I mean? Or who's flavour of the month right now? I got to try and be Bill Johnson, you know. I need to get my rollers in. But sit out the sun a bit longer, get a few more wrinkles, you know what I mean? Shave the beard off or whatever. Like maybe I could be Chris Ballaton. That's what I thought. I'll grow my beard like Chris. You know what? I'm hoping these days you're getting to hear a bit more of Donnie Stewart.
Yeah, yes.
I'm actually quite enjoying being Donnie Stewart these days.
Yeah,
getting a little bit more comfortable in my ones. Kind of began to realise I don't have to be someone else. It's hard work trying to be someone else. And anyway, you have to keep changing who you are. Because, you know what I mean? Like he said, who's that guy up there with the American twang I was listening to? Next time, hey, who's the crazy shouting guy from the East Coast that took over from the American? He also had a bit of an American accent because he wasn't happy being who he was. And now there was somebody who wasn't happy being who he was, and I'm copying him, and what a mess that becomes. You know, a ministry guy, he was on the island a couple of years ago when he was praying for myself and Katrina. He said to me, he says, you are Donnie, Gideon, Stewart. That's what he said. He says, you are Donnie, Gideon, Stewart. I thought, interesting. So how does the Word of God counsel the weak? How does the Word of God counsel the insecure? How does the Word of God counsel those who feel inferior? What does it say? Does it say, let the weak say, I am pathetic?
No.
No, it says, let the weak say, I am
strong.
Let the weak say, I am strong. So after an appeal from Gideon to the Lord for a sign to confirm his calling, during which the Lord actually reveals himself to Gideon as Yahweh Shalom, or the Lord is peace, or the Lord is your peace, or the Lord is our peace. Hallelujah. Imagine that. See, insecurity, inferiority, all these things, there's no peace in that. Mm-hmm. It's a restlessness. Oh. You can't rest if these things are still in there, impacting and affecting your life. If you're not happy to be who you are, who God created you to be, and to be able to receive His words of affirmation that are designed to help you understand that you're not dependent upon anything else apart from your relationship with Him. So there's no way you cannot fulfill your potential, because He is with you. Until these things become settled in your life, there is no peace. There is no rest. There's a restlessness. There's a continual watching everybody else. You're always looking at other people. You begin to copy so many people that at the end of the day you can't remember who you're supposed to be. You're like a chameleon. You're so fragmented, and then you become different people. You become a different person among different people. You just learn how to comply in every situation. I've heard people who said amen to three different preachers who were preaching three different, radically different messages, but they said amen to them all. And they were contradicting each other. That's crazy. If I don't agree with the preacher saying, I just go, Lord bless him. Give him some revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And Gideon goes on and he tears down the altar of Baal and he tears down the wooden image of Asherah, who was a Canaanite goddess, that his father had erected, and he builds an altar to the Lord in its place. And it says he built that altar on top of the rock. Hallelujah. It represents a stronghold. Who knows, it's important to recognize the demonic strongholds that have weakened our families, weakened our churches over generations. And when we recognize them, we need to pull them down.
Yeah.
Pull them down. People have said to me, Tony, if I hear you mention revival one more time, I said, the Lord gave me this, and it's the most unpopular thing I ever received from the Lord, but it needs to come down.
Yeah.
Needs to come down. All that false thinking about revival needs to come down so that people can just rise up and be who they are. Hallelujah. I'm not denying our history. I'm not denying the awesome things that some of our folks experienced. You know what happened? They came temporarily into what we're supposed to have all the time.
Yeah. That's right.
And the tragedy is that they lost it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they didn't know how to, and many of them who had it, they could never be comfortable without it, and they spent the rest of their lives and just nostalgia and careless for what they had. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know, like, you know, Gaelic word careless, is just, there isn't really an English for it, but it just explains that longing, deep longing. Because they knew they had it and they knew they weren't supposed to lose it, but religion came in and removed it, took it from them. One of the old fellows that was involved in the last move of God on this island, way back in the late 40s, early 50s, there was a young man came up from the south, and he was investigating all these things and asking people and meeting with some of the old folks, and he went to this older fellow over on the west side, and this old fellow said to him, he said, the problem with us was we didn't know how to form a new wineskin. He said, and we lost what God gave us. And then this young man said, this old fella took him by the lapels. And he looked into his eyes. He said, when you get it, don't lose it. When you get it, he said, don't lose it. And that was the key to everything. He said, we didn't know how to form a new wineskin. The new wine that was getting poured in, the old wineskin that they had couldn't contain it. The religious structures that they had couldn't contain it. It wrecked everything. That's why they had to come in and try and sort it all out. People don't understand that most of the things that happened in people's houses.
Yeah.
And then and when the minister wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And that's not... And then they just couldn't... But when the powers that be came in and say that's the end... They let it end. They let it go. And then they could only talk about it. And then these people were wasted for anything else. Who knows what I'm talking about? But the tragic thing is they never had to lose it. But then that false theology of come and go revival gets built as a scaffolding to try and support what happened. And that's baloney, and that's what we're pulling down. We want people walking in the fullness. We want people experiencing the fullness of God all the time because that's God's heart. Amen. We need to recognize where the devil's come in and try to steal what's been sown, trying to come in and rob the people of God from God's provision for their lives. We need to pull these things down. Not so that we just leave a void. No, so we can replace them with the truth of God's word.
Amen.
That's what I've been seeing to do over these years, folks. Just preach God's word. Preach the truth to displace. And you know how many people don't want to let go? They want to hold on. Gideon pulled down the altars that who had erected? His father had erected. The hardest thing in the world to do is to pull down the altars that your father's erected. And he built an altar to the Lord. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord of peace. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken, none of the time, not ever. Everything in place, everything provided, everything established, everything available, all the time. Yahweh Shalom. Everything you need, whenever you need it. That's the Lord, when the Lord revealed himself as I am, he says, I am everything you need, whenever you need me to be.
Yeah.
Wherever you need me to be. Wherever you need me to be. However you need me to be. Hallelujah. That's covenant. He said, I am your covenant God. Hallelujah. I want to see people. I want to see all of the false idols. The revival idol. Shun it out of the way.
Amen.
Displaced by the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. There's only one mention of revival in the new covenant, and that's sin that's been revived. It says the law, when the law comes, sin is revived. That's the only mention. Who wants that then? Because in most revival preaching, that's what it does. It tries to bring the law in and sin is revived. I'm not in the business of trying to resurrect sin, folks. Hallelujah. I want to see the people of God rise up. I want to hear them. I want to hear every single person hear God's voice over their life saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. All righteousness has been fulfilled in their lives. They're as righteous as they can ever be right now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to see the strongholds. We need to see the strongholds of generational sin, of generational sickness and poverty. We need to see these things pulled down so that we can be worshippers in spirit and in truth. Because the Father, that's all the Father's looking for. The Greek word for truth there can be translated accuracy. I love that. I love that definition of that word. Because you know what sin is? It's to miss the mark. The Greek word for sin, it means to fall short of the mark. It was like an archer, and he aims for the target, but his arrow, he doesn't pull his string back far enough, and he releases it, and it drops short of the target. That's what sin is. No, but you see, truth closes the gap. The truth is, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He closed the gap so that you don't ever have to fall short through sin ever again. Sin's out of the picture now. You'll never have to miss the bullseye ever again. The bullseye is where you live, where you hang out. Glory to God. Come on. Better not say that, Lord. You need to choose what end of the cow you're going to live, I'll tell you. At one end there's the bullseye, at the other end there's... you'll have something for your potatoes, but that's about it. That's terrible. Anyway, I think I'll just have another wee drink. Accuracy. Oh dear. But you know what? It's going to be hard. I mentioned that this morning. I was sitting at my desk this morning, early morning, and as I said, I was on the edge of the pity party, and I was thinking about something, and something got in my mind. I was trying to take root in my mind, and I said, "Oh, poor Donnie," and I said, "Well, stop, full stop," and I said, "Prosperous Donnie."
Yeah.
Say it out loud, "Prosperous Donnie." I said, "Bless Donnie."
Yeah.
Don't worry, you poor Donnie right here. Amen. I decided what end of the bull I was going to be. Hallelujah. Because that poor Donnie, that came from that end. Oh Lord, if I get summer tonight, it'll be a miracle. But I believe in miracles. That was the problem. You see, Gideon was a bit like a lot of people in our generation. He was hooked on signs. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know anybody that's hooked on signs? Have you got a sign addiction? And you know what? The Lord is merciful and patient and long-suffering. Are you glad about that? I'm glad about that. Tonight I'm especially glad about that. I'm believing for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to appear in my wife's life before we reach home. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're not travelling home together. Praise God. The Lord's got the whole of the Baptist Spirit to do a work on it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know what, the Lord knew about Gideon's sign addiction, because he was the guy that said, "Well, if the Lord was with us, you know, why is all these bad things happening?" So then the Lord starts telling him, "Gideon, I've got a plan for good things, and you're involved in that plan." Then he says, "Well, give me a sign." And the Lord worked with him where he was at, and you see, he did that because he had a bigger plan, he had a higher plan, he had a much more advanced plan, and that was to make Gideon a sign and wonder, just like he said.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Come on. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a sign addiction tonight, well, the Lord wants to move you forward from that. He wants you to realize that you are the sign. Because the only way to get delivered from your sign addiction is to become the sign.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And you become a sign when you get delivered from your sign addiction. Because you stop being someone who will believe it when they see it, and you start being someone who says it because they believe it.
Yeah.
And someone who knows that because they believe it and say it, they will see it. Hallelujah. Because they already see it, and that's why they're saying it.
That's right.
And because they are saying it and diligent in saying it, then others will get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Because we know what happens, don't we? Because Gideon's army, all of a sudden, is being whittled down. That's why, I mean, the numbers game. And I believe God is interested in numbers. I believe he wants the whole world to be saved. I'm not into this remnant rubbish. Glory to God. I bought a remnant the other day at the carpet shop, I have to confess. And you know why? Because it was cheap. And and I went deliberately looking. The only time I ever look for a remnant is at the carpet shop. You know why? Because it reinforces something in my mind. And that is, a remnant is always the end of a row. God's not into remnant. Amen. God's not into something being left, a wee tiny bit being left at the end. No. Glory to God. Amen. He's into the whole world being saved. Hallelujah. Come on. Gideon's army gets whittled down to 300. First of all, by the Lord's telling him to command all of those who were fearful and afraid to go home, and 22,000 went home. Thank God for honesty. One fell swoop, 22,000 of the army are gone. That left 10,000. And then the 10,000, the Lord tested them. Now, I've heard several sermons on this, and all I can tell you is the test was, the Lord said to him, tell him to go down the river and drink, and those who kneeled down to drink, you'd think that would be the way of the holy, wouldn't you? Kneeling down, that must be that's a definite posture, you know, for it. He says, those who kneel down, send them home. And those who lap like a dog, they're in. Those who kneel down are out. Now, as I said, I've heard several different sermons on that, and I'm not even going to go into that. But that's what the Lord said. And you know how many he was left with? 300. So 9,700 of the 10,000 that were left after the first batch had, after the first 22,000 went home because they admitted they were fearful and afraid, 9,700 of them knelt down to drink, and so they're home. And there's 300 left. The 300 who lapped like a dog. No. And the Lord says, I'm going to use these folks to save the day by defeating the opposition. And who are they up against? Do you remember the enemy armies we read about that were so large that they were described as being as numerous as locusts? It says their camels were innumerable as sand by the seashore in multitude. And the Lord says, here, your 300 are going to defeat that mob because I am with you. So I'm not really at that. I don't get bogged down in that. Liar. Sorry. Sometimes it does. Your flesh. Woe is me. Poor me. Look at the state of this. Only a few people showed up tonight. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The Lord's speaking to you tonight. Mm-hmm. See, the ones that didn't come, it's not that they're not blessed, but they missed this because they. You're here tonight, and the Lord says, tell them tonight, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, and I'm well pleased with you. And you're here tonight to hear this message so you will know that it doesn't matter how many the enemy has, or how big, or how smart, or how much you think you're outnumbered, you're going to defeat him because the Lord is with you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because God's got plans for you. To succeed, hallelujah, to succeed in everything that you put your hand to succeed in ministry, to succeed in business. Mm-hmm. He wants to remind you that you are greatly blessed and highly favoured of the Lord, hallelujah, that he's got you marked for promotion, glory to God. But I'll tell you what, for a regular Benton man, the odds don't look too good for Gideon's army. But God gave Gideon a strategy that caused 300 men to put an innumerable number of enemies to flight. Is that good or is that good? You see, when God is on your side, you are always in the majority.
Yeah.
When God is on your side, you are always in the majority. Scripture puts it this way: if God is for us, who can be against us? What was the battle cry that sent the enemy packing? You'll read it in Judges chapter 7 in verse 18 and again in verse 20. Listen to this: the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I love that. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What does the Bible tell us? What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? The sword of the Lord is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, when we take the word of God into our hearts and into our mouths, we are always going to experience victory. Because the word of God will always prevail, because it's not just the power of his word, it's the word of his power. Hallelujah. You want to see God's power? Then speak his word. Speak his word. Speak his word. That's why we need to get rid of all the arguments as to why God might not want to work through us or work on our behalf. All of the fear, all of the insecurity, all of the inferiority must go forever. And all we need is faith. Faith that takes God at his word. Faith that we can overcome all of the impossible situations we face. Not in our own strength, but in his strength.
Yeah.
Stand up together as we close tonight. Hallelujah. I want us to just get this down the inside of us, if it's not there already. I want the ultimate divine affirmation. Remember, emotional support and encouragement. We need that for our emotions. Remember, we're emotional people. You need to understand, glory to God. That's how I went down that road. Glory. I knew how to get my way back. I knew how to find my way home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You weren't allowed to cry. You weren't allowed to have joy. You had to hold it all together, brother. You could cry as long as it was snot slugging crying, but you know, despair. But I want you to hear the ultimate divine affirmation, and I want us to get it down the side of us. Glory to God, and it'll impact, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The ultimate divine affirmation, which is this: you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter. And I want you to hear this from the Lord himself. Come on, I don't want you to hear this from me. I want you to hear it from the Lord and from Donnie. Just like the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This is the sword of the Lord and of Donnie. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to be like one of these, you know, oh, well, you know, just don't ignore Donnie Stewart, because, you know, you've got to receive the prophet, or you won't. You can't receive what the prophet's got to say. I had to get that corrected in my understanding. Glory to God. People, you know you're not a, you know you're a prophet when folks from your own town don't really want much to do with you. Oh, hallelujah. You don't get much honour in your own home city, your own hometown. Amen, hallelujah, amongst your own people. Glory to God, hallelujah. This is the sword of the Lord and of Donnie Stewart. Glory to God. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased. If that doesn't strengthen and encourage us, nothing will. Because until we accept his love and affirmation, we will always continue at different times, maybe all the time, to be paralyzed by fear, by insecurity, by inferiority. We'll still be entrapped by the false idols that religion have erected in our lives, in our churches, in our families. We need to be strong, because the liberty, the freedom comes in our Father's house when we're strong to remove. And people used to say to me, Donnie, why did you leave your Father's church, talking about the Church of Scotland? I said, I didn't leave it, I found it. Mm-hmm. See, I've got faith to believe if my Father was alive today, he'd be here with us. That's what I've got faith to believe. Amen. Because I know that's what was in his heart. I know my mother spent the last day. She came and joined us as soon as we started and was with us for 23, a good nearly 15 years, I suppose. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I've got faith to. But my uncle, he was a Church of Scotland minister, a well known, well respected Church of Scotland minister in the Highlands and the Islands. When he started preaching about the rapture, they stopped inviting him back to the island, but that's another story. he said to me, Donnie, he said, if I was your age, I'd be doing what you're doing. That's what he said to me one time. I just took that. Hallelujah. I took that as affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm believing if these guys were here today, and he came a couple of times, he preached for us one time back in the day when we were first starting out, glory to God, he came and visited us in Green, I think he was there one time. And I believe if these guys were alive today, they'd be with us. Amen. Glory to God. I believe it because this was what was in their heart, was to have this freedom. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not knocking anybody. Glory to God. I'm honoring the guys who went before. I'm saying some of them stood in hard times. I'm saying some of them got a hold of God and religion may have kicked the stuffing out of them. Glory to God. But they never let go. They still had, as I said, they were spoiled for everything else. Hallelujah. But here we are, we're standing on their shoulders. We're not coming in and trying to do better than they did. We're on their shoulders, glory to God, with a fresh opportunity, glory to God, to form this new wineskin and let God be who He is in our midst. Hallelujah. And just to begin to declare, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. I believe His affirmation is on us, that we are His beloved children and He is well pleased with us. Hallelujah. And we can expect Him to manifest His presence and His glory in our meetings every time. Not some of the time, but every time. Not when we just get it just right. No, just when we just simply believe that He's here. And because He's here and because He's with us, then we cannot be defeated. That whatever comes against us, we will be victorious. Hallelujah. Because we have the sword of the Lord and Gideon. The sword of the Lord and Dodi. The sword of the Lord and Esther, the sword of the Lord, and Eileen. Amen. The sword of the Lord, and James, and Jenny, and Danny, and come on, everybody!
Amen.
You put your own name in there. Hallelujah. The sword of the Lord, and Sandra, and Peter, glory to God, and Shell. Now, if I go last, I'll miss them down. I'll be in trouble with Kirsty, and Ali, glory to God, and Jordan. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. And Anne at the back there hiding. Not deliberately, just the fact there's somebody in front of her. And on and on and on and on and on. It goes, blessed be the name of the Lord. If that doesn't strengthen us, encourage us, nothing will. Come on, let's say it together just to finish tonight. Let the weak say. Let the weak say. Come on. I am strong. Let's hear it again. I am strong. But we're not just making that statement as some kind of, let's repeat after me kind of stuff. You know the reason we're strong? Because He is with us. The only reason we're strong, because we're strong in the knowledge of His love for us, His commitment to us, His fatherhood in our lives. Hallelujah. That He's our provider and our protector. That He's our Father, and so we choose to worship Him in spirit and in truth with accuracy. Hallelujah. With accuracy. Never again to fall short of His provision. Never again to give up and to quit and to make do with anything less than the fullness of His provision. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your children. I thank You, Lord, that we are here, Lord, as Your children, Lord God, to be signs and wonders. To be signs and wonders, Father God. Lord, to be a sign that points people to Jesus. Lord, that they might look at Him in wonder and say, oh, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, that You are my Savior, that You are my healer. Just like the people who came out of that Samaritan city in response to what that Samaritan woman had said, that woman you met with at the well, they came out and they said, now we've heard Him for ourselves. Now we believe because we've met with Him personally. Oh, hallelujah. We believe for that, for the people of these islands. Lord, for even those in our own families right now who need that encounter, Father, with You, that personal encounter that they may be able to say they're not trusting anymore and not in their parents' God or their auntie's God or anybody else's God, but their own God. They know Him personally. Father, we believe for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody excited tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name.